Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Hey everyone, Kevin from Rare Drop here, asking you to head over to our Patreon and check it out. It's patreon.com/raredrop. Perfect place to engage with Rare Drop and enjoy the best community content we have to offer. Our 6 membership subscription levels offer exclusive content, behind-the-scenes moments, merch discounts, live Q&As, and so much more. Check us out at patreon.com/raredrop, and myself and the entire team are excited to see you there. Welcome to episode 47 of Star Wars and Scotch. It's me and Tim again, but this week we have a guest. Yes. Please welcome to Star Wars and Scotch, Sawyerism. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I found Sawyerism on TikTok because I have spent months, ever since my oldest daughter was like, "Dad, get on TikTok. You'll enjoy." I'm like, "No, I'm not into twerking." And she was like, "No, you can curate your algorithm." I was like, "Okay." And it started with sea shanties. Then it went to travel videos. And now I'm into Marvel, Lord of the Rings, and Star Wars lore. So you popped through my feed one day. I was like, "Oh, all right. She's talking about legends. I like that. Okay. Sith. Okay." So I followed and then enjoy the rest of the content. We got to the point where with GCX this year where we wanted to bring back the Star Wars panel we did in 2019. So we grabbed Alex and Molly from Star Wars Explained. I'm like, "I need someone else. Who else?" So we reached out to you and you said yes immediately. So thank you for that.
Thanks for saying yes.
Oh my gosh. It's the best opportunity. I was so excited. I was like, "Mom, guess what?" Because I'm visiting my family right now. I'm home from college. And she was like, "Huh? What are you talking about?"
But I love it. I love it. I love it. Before we get started, I just want to say that everyone should be drinking that hot, delicious King's Coast coffee. And today they announced the GCX roast for this year. Proceeds will go to St. Jude on that one. Is it Sunday, Tim?
Yeah. What Sunday about Sunday?
Noon? Sunday at noon Eastern when it comes out?
Yes. Okay. It's when the marathon starts.
So June 13th at noon Eastern. Oh, I didn't even make that correlation. My brain is fried. Sunday, June 13th. Yeah. KingsCoastCoffee.com or KingsCoast.coffee/GCX if you just want to go straight to that GCX homepage that has a mug and merch. Anyway, let's get to the fun stuff. So, Sawyer, we had a brief chat when we were game planning for what we want to do for GCX. You started talking about a bunch of stuff that Tim and I are on the same page with you, you know, especially High Republic. We're huge fans of the High Republic. We think the potential is limitless there to just broaden everyone's horizons on the history of the Jedi and the Sith and all that. And I don't know. It's just interesting and we love it. But I wanted to ask you, where does Star Wars begin for you? How does it start? Where does the interest begin and what does the journey look like to being an influencer?
Oh gosh, I don't think you could any version of myself before now would believe this life that I'm living now. I mean, I think I was, you know, Star Wars was always a presence in my life. I assume, I cannot remember the first film I saw. It must have been A New Hope, but you know, my earliest Star Wars memory is breaking my arm right before my 5th birthday, and so we couldn't do my pool party. We threw together a last minute Star Wars party. So I've always been interested, and then I kind of, you know, I don't think hyperfixations kind of start when you're in your adolescence. So it wasn't until Force Awakens came out that I really got back into it, and that, you know, has been my life since 2015, and I've explored every, you know, facet of the internet when it comes to Star Wars, but it really, influencer-wise, I gotta thank coronavirus. I think everyone and their mother joined TikTok because they heard that the algorithm was good, and, or, you know, a great way to get nobody's a large following, and I had no interest in making Star Wars content because in high school and college, people are looking at you like, what? What are you talking about? Like, you're weird. So that was not the goal, but I ended up, there was a sound circulating that was like, rank all 11 films. And I did, and I had some hot takes that were not well received. And it blew up, and a bunch of larger creators in that area like were duetting, stitching, like saying, go support this girl. And then I had 1,000 followers overnight. And I was like, well, crap. The only people I ever know how to attract are Star Wars fans. What do I do now?
The choice was made for you.
Then it went from there. And I had no idea that I would... My content started with, like, the meme stuff, teaching lightsaber tricks, all that jazz. And then I met these folks who were big into lore, and I was like, hey... I could try that. And that was the first time I ever read a Star Wars book. I had no idea that all that stuff was out there. And I was enamored immediately. The first book I read was Revan. I had not even played KOTOR. I just wanted to read it because I think I was looking for a different book at Barnes & Noble, but that they didn't have it. I picked up Revan and I read it in like a day. And that was the first book I read for leisure in like 4 years. So... yeah. And then that was right when the High Republic came out and my friends were like, you have to jump on this. And I did. And I have no regrets. It's the best thing that's happened to me in the past 8 years, I think. I had no idea people cared about my opinions on lore, but they do. And it's, yeah, that's where I got my platform, I guess.
That's so dope.
That's a fun story.
I love that. I love hearing all these like pandemic like success stories. I think that's fantastic.
I feel like I'm the only influencer who quit during the pandemic.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you helped like do other stuff. So you're
good. I know, but it's just funny. Like, oh, you start, I ended. Sorry, that was 2020 for me. I'm curious. You said hot takes on the sequel trilogy. Now, Tim and I would say it's definitely not our favorite movies, but there's definitely a point on this show where I get into it with our lovely chat. That's what we call them because we were streamers.
Our streamers?
About
I'm still a streamer.
Episode 1 and 2 being far worse than episodes 7, 8, and 9 for me. I think episode 1, except for the last 10 minutes, is one of the worst movies of all time. Forget about it being Star Wars. But because it's Star Wars, every time I watch through the series, I sit through both of them. It's no big deal. I'm curious, so, you know, you said controversial takes on the sequel trilogy. What would be the one that you would say, this is the one that drove everyone crazy? Because I'm curious if we agree, disagree, or, you know, a lot of the times Tim and I might disagree with something, but we definitely love to leave it open to interpretation or, you know, not be those Star Wars fans who are, you know, gatekeeping whatever jackasses you want to call them. I don't know.
Yeah, so I would say that there's two. My lowest ranking is Revenge of the Sith, and my highest ranking is The Rise of Skywalker. And this is my list of, like, watchability. Like, I never talk about my love for the sequels without acknowledging that there are issues. And same definitely with the prequels, right? You know, Attack of the Clones is my favorite prequel based on nostalgia purposes. But for me, the most fun one to watch is Rise of Skywalker, and people always look at me funny for saying that. But the real reason is because shortly after The Force Awakens came out, I was like, Rey's related to Palpatine. I'm calling it. She's related to Palpatine. And nobody thought that. And so I actually own the Instagram handle Rey Palpatine, and I have since 2016.
Ooh, wow.
So people have asked me to buy it before.
I was going to say, asked you out.
So that's like a huge reason why I like it, because watching it for the first time in the theater, it was like, I made up the story. Like, it was hitting all these points that I was so sure about, and that doesn't happen very often. And I don't know. I think it deserves a little more credit. I think it is fun to watch. And so that, I think, was one of the kickers. But Revenge of the Sith being the bottom of my list was, I think, the biggest outrage for people.
What is it that you don't like about Revenge of the Sith?
It's just slow for me. You know, the first half is really slow, and then the second half picks up, and I like it better. But I guess, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Anakin. And so that's part of it. And
man, she gets along with us well.
Should I do the impression for her?
Oh, boy.
I believe the Jedi are evil. That's what he sounds like to me. And that's, I'm like, I am a firm believer that without Ewan McGregor, that scene is one of the worst scenes in movie history. That man does not carry that scene on his back.
No.
He holds the entire production
he's like
up like Atlas holding the world up during that scene.
Oh, yeah.
Anakin comes across as weak and broken and just frail.
And then all of a sudden, he's Darth Vader.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's so interesting because I love Vader and people are like, they're not different characters. No, they're not, but Vader, he eventually becomes, you know, a Dark Lord of the Sith and, you know,
We went through this though. So if you look at it this way, there is a death of Anakin and a birth of Darth Vader and a death of Darth Vader and a resurrection of Anakin that takes place across the first six movies. So you're not wrong when you say they're two different people. Evident in Clone Wars, in one of my favorite, Tim, I'm going to go there again. I'm sorry, I have to. The duel between Ahsoka and Vader.
What about it?
When she cracks his helmet and his eye changes back.
Yeah, you see Anakin's eye. Snips.
And you're like sitting there waiting for him, say snips, say snips, say snips, say snips. But then, you know, it changes back. So I do believe they're two spirits trapped in one body, if you will. That's the best way I could put it. But there's definitely a death.
It's that
of
struggle.
Anakin.
It's that thing that Anakin or that Ahsoka and Luke felt, like that constant struggle between good and evil.
Yep.
And that's what makes his character like so interesting. It's almost like Harry Potter and like having like knowing he's a Horcrux. You know, it's like he's actually like a part of Voldemort. It's like this constant struggle of like good and evil have been happening the whole time.
Right. And so yeah, I mean, I just, especially with the Clone Wars, that kind of fostered a lesser appreciation for Anakin just as who he was as a person, because he wasn't really a great person. But and I also don't like the way Padme's arc ended. Not her like obviously she had to die and she had to give birth to twins, but
did she have to die?
I guess not, but I just, you know, I just felt like the treatment of her, like, part of the reason I like Attack of the Clones so much is her character in that film.
Well, she's strong. She's a strong female character.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I just think, you know, Lucas had this idea that motherhood equals fragility, and that is not the case. And so, yeah, it's another reason.
I watched my wife pop a baby out. That's not, you're not fragile at any point. Oh my gosh. No, you're the strongest thing in the world.
Yep.
But honestly, I think that's what is so cool about Clone Wars, the animated show, is that it helps build those characters in a way that they should have been built during the movie. Padme has so many fun adventures. Like, she goes out to the banking colony and she helps, like, she's almost like Sherlock Holmes for the Republic, which I thought was kind of fun. And then Anakin, if anything, Anakin really, like, I enjoy Clone Wars Anakin than I ever will Anakin in the live action. I think animated Anakin, they captured his essence so well. And I just wish that would have been his character in the movies.
Yeah, definitely. And that's a critique that I kind of always bring up when I'm having discussions with people who really don't like the sequels. You know, because I think there's a lot of supplementary content in the sequel era that strengthens the characters, just like the Clone Wars did. And they're like, well, I shouldn't have to see other things. And I'm like, okay, but did you watch the Clone Wars? Because I guarantee you appreciate all of those characters far more than you did when you saw just the films. And that can be said for the original trilogy, too, because we have tons of phenomenal stories that take place around that era. I mean, heck, Rogue One, too, strengthened some things that were missing in the original. So, 100%. And I love the Clone Wars. I just, the prequels.
Sure. Thrawn is one of my favorite Star Wars characters. And Thrawn, coming from the original trilogy time frame, he was never in the movies. Like, his character doesn't show up until a much longer time down the road when it comes to, like, the development of the Star Wars universe. And so, but he is, like, one of the most, like, well-known and beloved characters, just like Ahsoka. You know, like, these characters, like, it really goes to show that it doesn't have to be just, like, the main protagonists of these movies to really make Star Wars shine.
Absolutely.
I also think with Rise of Skywalker, and I said this to Tim after we saw it and we did the episode on it. That movie, for the general public, I'm not saying you can't enjoy it, Sawyer, because I'm a firm believer in like what you like, love what you love. Like, yeah, don't let anyone else tell you that. It's just not, it's not one of my favorites. But I think for the general public and for other people who complained about it, the possibility of that being a really good movie in 20 years when all the blanks have been filled in, because even JJ said it a few weeks ago, like, it wasn't my vision all the way through. Now, you know, over the next 20 years between books, comics, TV shows, whatever else they come out with, they're going to add to that lore. Like, we're going to find out more about Exegol at some point. I firmly believe that Exegol is the Starforge, but that's a whole other conversation.
What?
I thought she was going to nod her head and agree with you. Oh, no.
They're sick of hearing
this. Okay, all right. Okay, Kevin, looking at her face right now, for those that are listening to this, we're doing a live video chat. You blew her mind. How much time we got?
Well, I didn't know what you were going to say, because in my mind, Exegol is the rework of Dromund Kaas, which could, you know, the weather is the same, and it's a Sith planet. It would have to be located differently on the star map than where it was in Legends, but that could work. But the Starforge, that's really interesting.
That was the only way that we could explain how all those Star Destroyers show up.
So I do agree that the Starforge has to be involved. I do agree with that, but I never thought that Exegol itself would be the Starforge.
Yeah, because like,
you never see the Starforge in Coder. It's just, well, actually, yes, you do. You're on the Starforge at the end of one briefly. And it is very machine-like, but it's super red. But again, they're changing everything, so right. It doesn't mean that it has to be exactly what it was in Coder. We know that Coder is an integral part of what's coming down the pipeline. Revan has already been teased, and all this stuff. It could be a remake. We don't know what it's going to be. But Coder is going to play a major role in stuff. Tim and I have a theory, too, that the movie universe exists, and then you have the television, which is kind of like a little bit overlapping when Acolyte comes out with High Republic. But perhaps that the Old Republic will live in the video game universe for X amount of years before it makes it to Disney Plus or to a movie. So, I don't know. Just the way that he was able to prop up all those ships. Like
it's also very, it's like a machine when he goes down on the insides, like, you know, so it's like there's a lot of little things where it's like, yeah, they changed a lot to Kevin's point, but there's also a lot of things that look very familiar and behave familiar. So it's just like, it's the only way to explain how he's able to amass such a massive army and this fleet and all this stuff out in the middle of nowhere in the chaos. And it's just like, I've been creating all of this. And it's like, but how? like the entire galaxy knew when the Empire was feeding their war machine. They were sucking planets dry. They were killing people off. They were harvesting resources. And so like it made a massive disturbance in the Outer Rim and in some of like the more like core planets. And then he's off doing this, and no one recognizes that he's just sucking up all of the material within like that area. Seems kind of weird to me. So to have like something that's more like a Starforge that can literally use the cosmic force to create objects, like, that makes more sense to me.
I kind of like the Dromund Kaas theory too, though, because if they have access to the Starforge elsewhere, Dromund Kaas makes sense for, like you said, the weather, and it Dromund Kaas is the Dark Temple on Dromund Kaas in Legends is a font of dark side power, like.
Yeah,
huge
and
deal.
We've got all those statues on Exegol that kind of look like a Juntapal. It's not a Juntapal, but like, you know, similar vibe to some of the Sith statues and
is
landmarks.
Is it Juntapal on the frescas that didn't make it into the final cut? The stone ones that they made? Did you see those? Let me see if I can find them. There were these stone carving, like, frescas carved into the wall, and it was artist representation. It had all the ancient Sith on it. Like, Revan was on there. Malak was on there. Everybody was on there.
I was not aware of this, actually.
Ancient Sith carving, Rise of Skywalker. Let's see if it comes up. Yeah, I found it. I'll link this in the chat in one second. But I think if we look at 20 years down the road, it's very possible that Rise of Skywalker is all of a sudden like, oh, now this made sense, because they love to tell this story out of order. Love to tell
it.
And I love that they do it, honestly, because even with Bad Batch,
I think the coolest thing about Star Wars, though, is that you can get away with that. I feel like there's a lot of shows, a lot of TV, a lot of movies, any type of story that's being told now, it has to be told in order. Or you just, everything gets thrown out of whack. If you were to give me Lord of the Rings out of order, I'd be like, what is happening? But I could watch Star Wars in any order, and I think I could still understand the plot. And, like, you can't do that. Like, you just, like you said, you literally picked up Revan. You started with Revan for Star Wars. Like, that's crazy to me. Like, you glossed over everything that makes Star Wars Star Wars, and yet here you are making content on TikTok.
To
I love
you,
that.
How many people found Star Wars because of... The only reason I got deeper into everything was because of KOTOR. That was the reason that's what put me over the edge into the comics and the books and things like that. Before that, it was literally just 4, 5, and 6. And then 1, 2, and 3, I think, had just come out, or it was all around the same time. No, 1, 2, and 3, 1 and 2 at least came out before KOTOR came out. But
Yeah. 1 and 2.
I think 3 hadn't released yet, or was releasing. So, in essence, I think they can with Rise of Skywalker over time, that whole trilogy, I think, will get more meat on its bone to make more sense. I do believe having two directors direct three movies that apparently didn't communicate with each other was very painful for the storytelling, because it felt like we had the first movie, we had a really good story, we were ready for the second one, and then it was someone else's
story
with the same people. You're fine. And then and then we went to the last one, which was the other guy trying to make up for the mistakes of the second guy that changed his vision so he could complete it. Just that's where it kind of falls apart. I do love The Last Jedi, sans Rose and Finn's story. If you take that out, I absolutely love that movie. I thought Luke's death was 10 of 10. Like, I rave about that.
I think if it weren't for that arc, I think I would be with you. I think that would be my favorite one, but that just...
I asked so many people, I'm like, what's bad about that movie besides that story? And no one has ever been able to answer me. They're like, oh, well, Luke's... I'm like, are you trying to tell me that the greatest force user that ever lived, projecting himself halfway across the galaxy to fool his nephew, is not impressive?
It's also
and a good way
hilarious.
To go out?
It's a good uncle joke.
Yeah. and you know, people tend to forget that Yoda did the same thing. He failed. He became a hermit. Like,
yes. Yeah.
What? But that's a whole other can of worms. But yeah, no, and I don't understand this, like, opposition. I do hear a lot, like, you know, it's stupid that they're filling in the gaps. Why? There's a crazy High Republic connection that Into the Dark is... That space station is nowhere.
Snoke's.
Where Snoke was for
that's
years.
That's so awesome.
And that's... Yeah, it is.
Which
it's
makes
so cool.
Sense. It is like the epicenter of dark energy. Like, of course he'd be there. Why wouldn't he be? It's so good.
Which makes you also think, what happened to the Drengir?
Yeah, that part I'm really curious about is, like, are they dead or are they dormant? Was he siphoning them off, like, you know, like just sucking all the dark energy out of the Drengir while they were still laying dormant because the Sith statues were keeping them there? Like, there's a lot of things that could be going on, and I'm excited for that story. I honestly, they need to do for Snoke what they did for, like, a bunch of other Star Wars characters, like Boba Fett or Darth Maul or whatever. Like, give them a better backstory so that when you get to his death scene, you don't feel so... it's not anticlimactic, you know. It's just like I was so ready to learn so much about him, and it gets cut in half. I'm like, okay, this guy was supposed to be all of everything that connected us to what's going on, and then he's supposed to be this powerful Sith dark force user, and then just it's cut in half. Like, I feel like there is so much more left to his story, and I feel like he's going to be an interesting character because he's a clone of Palpatine, but he's all deformed. Like, I want to know why. Tell me why.
One day you'll know.
Well, I think the deformity is probably the fact that he's not, like, a direct clone, and he actually has, like, a bunch of random DNA in him that doesn't mesh.
Which then could connect you to Mando, that could connect you to Bad Batch, and that's the cool thing about Star Wars, is that I feel like Charlie, and I'm just, like, taking, like thumbtacks and pulling red yarn everywhere, connecting the
Pepe
dots.
Darth Pepe Sylvia. Who is your favorite character in all of Star Wars, Sawyer?
Oh my god. I typically have two answers, right? Because I, like, I'm the old Republic girl. And I also, you know, like everything else. So Ben Solo is my favorite canon character. Mm-hmm. And I typically say that Kreia is my favorite Legends character.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Also, yeah, she, love Valkorion, but I think he... there's just something about Kreia.
Kreia, when I played that for the first time, I remember just sitting there like, I know you're up to something, but I can't figure out what it is yet. For days and months, or weeks, I should say. And I just remember that being so enthralling when I was playing. I remember the first one, I was like, I'm going to be a badass little, you know, dark side. And then I was in the Sith Temple, and the, I forget which part it was where they challenge you, and there's a huge decision you have to make. I'm like, I can't do it. I'm not that bad. And I made light side, and then I went light side there. But these are like moments that I remember that are really special to me. But Kreia is a great choice. She is, she's another one that like dances that line between, you know, for her, it was more like justice versus the dark side, almost like this weird, if you made a Venn diagram. But she's one of my favorite. I like Ben Solo, Kylo Ren. I thought the introduction of a immature kid who had no idea how to harness his power, his status, any of that, was an interesting new take on bringing someone into the Star Wars universe. Even to the point where I don't even think I'd call him a villain, because he just couldn't figure himself out.
He comes out more across like an anti-hero.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Where he's just like, he's just chaotic neutral, or he's just like, I know this path isn't right for me, but this one didn't work out, and I'm kind of just lost in limbo. Like, you end up feeling bad for him, but like, I don't know. I feel like Ben's story is like a roller coaster, because I'm still very confused with like how Luke found him to be like really like, I can see why Luke had his doubts, but still, I mean, Luke was very, very strong at that point. Like, don't you see? In my mind, I thought he would see the controversy that would happen, and then it would cause him to go dark side. Like, I would think that would have been foreshadowed to him. There's just a couple things like just in his story where I'm just like, oh man, they could have just done a little bit better here. I really liked how he was like the leader of the Knights of Ren. You know, like what happened to that?
I loved his origins in the comic.
Yeah, and that's so one of those things. Like, good. I haven't read through the comics yet on him, which I definitely need to.
I think the Rise of Kylo Ren, like, I think that adds a lot to,
yeah.
Like, you know, I think Ben is already a really nuanced character, and something that Adam Driver is so good at is adding nuance to his roles. But yeah, I think those comics are essential to kind of giving him that extra boost. And definitely a large part of why I like him. I think that the way I like to describe Ben is that he is a great representation of what trauma can do to a person.
Sure.
And that's why he's kind of all over the place. And I have a personal tie to that, obviously, you know, not going to get into it. But yeah, no, I think that's a very hard thing to portray if you don't, like, I don't think I could portray it. And I think that Adam Driver did such a great job with that, because it's, you know, yeah, it can lead you to do some really bad things because you don't know.
Where do you think the trauma was in his life that took him to where he ended up?
I think it's largely to do, it's kind of a healthy blend of Snoke and then his family trauma, because, you know, when Ben was very little, his mother was exposed as Vader's child, and that is how he learned about Darth Vader. There was nothing else. Like, he didn't know Anakin, which is why it wouldn't have made sense for Anakin to be like a Force ghost to him. You know, it's, you know, and his father left because he couldn't stay, he couldn't do it, and, you know, he was the child of Heroes of the Republic, and, but then we know that Snoke was in his mind, like, in utero. Like, from the very inception of Ben, Snoke was there tormenting him and kind of torturing him, so I think it's kind of a mix of those things, and not when you don't have your family to fall back on and you don't necessarily have a sense of trust with the people you're closest to, that what else do you do but follow someone who's been there technically for you since the beginning, who's promising you some kind of salvation?
Yeah. I always thought that the one thing I did want to see more of in the movie was probably the temple scene with Luke. I feel like they left too much out of that to the general populace who's not going to go digging to see what happened there. That would have impacted the story a little bit more. The Force Dyad thing was interesting, too, because, you know, we're introduced to this new concept. We don't fully understand it, and they kind of assumed too much, in my opinion, on how a Force Dyad works.
Yeah.
Which was fun for us afterwards, because Tim and I were speculating and having a blast.
Yeah, that was fun. I hated it with Mando when they're like, oh, Mando and Grogu are a Force Dyad. And you can shut up.
Well, that's because they take everything and reuse it, and it makes you angry, and I love it. So, yeah, I mean, again, Ben, I think, is a great character. Yeah. I just think he needed to be fleshed out better, and I do attribute that, again, to the two directors, three movies.
He didn't get the time to really, like, I feel like they ended up restarting his story in the second. Like, you can tell in episode 8, I feel like we got a completely different soul or Ben than we did in the first one. You know, and then in the third one, it again felt more like the first one than it really did the second one. Like the second Ben Solo in episode 8 just feels so different. And that's just because like the director changed, like the entire direction of the movie and how they were going to tell the story changed. So, I mean, he did. I really do think he did a great job with what he was given. He was very fun to watch.
100%. But yeah, I think, I don't know if this is a hot take. It might be to some people, but I personally think if Rian Johnson had control of the trilogy, it would have been outstanding, but might be bias. But I think he made some choices that I'm not a huge fan of. But like, first of all, cinematography. You cannot deny that it was gorgeous.
Very much so.
And yeah, I don't know. I really liked what he did with those characters. You know, a lot of the things people tend to hate, I really enjoyed about that film. So,
did you like the casino scene?
I like Canto Bight as a place. I think Cantonica is a really interesting planet, and I would like them to visit it again.
I agree.
So, I think world building wise, and that's like something I think Rian Johnson is great at, is world building. But I don't see how, you know, just not my favorite.
Fair. Right there with you. I hate that entire part. Like, I wish they could just like cut it out, and then just like it really didn't fit. It didn't really showcase anything other than the galaxy is corrupted, and people, no matter which side they're play on, are just trying to profit. Like that's really like it felt like they were just trying to like get a message across, if anything. But it just felt awkward. Like that was like probably my biggest grief with the movie was probably that scene, just because it just felt so awkward.
Yeah, it didn't really fit with the rest of the movie, like the theme of the movie for one. And yeah, I agree with you. I think you could take that whole scene out and still have a great movie.
I agree. Plus the whole thing where it led to with Phasma, it was just,
yeah.
What? Or Phasma? That's another character that kind of just got like.
Oh God! I remember thinking how cool Phasma was going to be.
Dude,
she
gets thrown down a garbage chute and then thrown into a burning pit, like.
That's it. That's all we got with Brienne of Tarth. Yeah. Come on, she's one of the best characters in Game of Thrones, and you do her dirty in Star Wars like that. But I see you have a ton of video games behind you, which is awesome because that's where Tim and I come from. So I see a Dreamcast controller and 64. I'm just naming it because it's an audio podcast. PlayStation 1, a Famicom. Is it a Famicom up there with an NES?
There's a Dreamcast controller back there too.
Yep, and then the legs of Sonic the Hedgehog. I see some Genesis games. GameCube games.
We got all
Xbox.
Kinds of stuff.
You're a gamer, so I would love to know, what is your favorite Star Wars game?
Oh God, it's got to be KOTOR. Like, that might be so basic, but
no.
Okay,
it's not.
All right, well, hold on. What did you think of Jedi Fallen Order?
I really liked it. I mean, I think that what Fallen Order did I think it did something so unique for Canon because it was the first Canon video game and it told a story as beautifully as any of the movies can. And that's something we haven't seen before. I mean, yeah, KOTOR has a phenomenal story, but this was Disney's first attempt at, you know, adding a video game story into canon, and I think they did a phenomenal job. It's another one of those stories that fits, you know, helps to complete the narrative of what happened after Order 66, but it also stands apart from everything else in a really great way. And frankly, I don't need to see Cal Kestis in live action anywhere because I think he's great where he is.
You just made Tim's day.
Yes!
I you know, same way I feel about Revan. I never, ever, ever, ever want to see a live action Revan. That's a whole other thing. But
you know it's going to happen though, right?
I hope not.
It's gonna. Just mentally and physically and emotionally prepare yourself.
I don't think so.
I call that their cash cow. That is when they're like, "All right,
that's the rainy day fund.
We need to make a few billion.
Get
the Revan masks on the shelves at Batu. Let's do this. Come on, the movie trailer out.
Why do we need to see Cal Kestis in live action? We practically do. It was motion capture, like.
The joke with us is that almost every time Tim and I would theory craft on what was going to happen next in Mandalorian or something, our chat would always be like,
"Do you think it's going to be Cal Kestis?"
Like, especially when Grogu reached out, you know, on Tython.
Do you think Cal Kestis is going to be the one that hears the call?
And Tim and I are like, "How do you know he's alive?
Yeah.
Why would they show him in live action when there's two more video games to be made about him? Think of this from a marketing perspective. Why are you going to show off that he's still alive? Because then that leaves no danger for you playing two video games. The threat of death has to be there to finish this boy's story." So, but that's the joke, is we constantly deal with people who are like,
do you think Cal Kestis is going to show up?
If he does, fine, then, but...
He'd be like, how old was he, Tim, if he showed up in Mandalorian?
If he showed up in Mandalorian, he'd 50? Be like in his 40s.
Mm-hmm. 40s or 50s?
Yeah, he'd be so like in his 40s.
It can't be, what's his, I forget the guy that played him. It can't be Cameron Monaghan.
Yeah.
It can't be him because unless they're going to dress him up like an older, I don't know. It's ridiculous, but they still have two more games. It's a trilogy. They've said that. So
much to cover still. Like, I need to know about the Zephos so badly. I need as much information. Because like that seems like the more for me personally, I want to see a more pure force. I want to see like what was like the biological connection between like the humanoids throughout the galaxy and like finding this source of power and connecting with it, and like what does that look like? And the Zephos are becoming like the forerunners of Halo, you know, like they are the things that started to like they're coming across as like the first. The things that created everything else in the world. So, like, I'm excited to learn more about that. And it's cool that they're telling that through a video game.
Yeah, totally agree. I'd like to see more of Marin as well.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you think there's a world, I'm asking you this as an Old Republic enthusiast, where the Zepho and the Rakata exist simultaneously?
Simultaneously? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, the Rakata were responsible for, like, the evolution of some species. I could see there being a connection that way. I don't know. But, like, there's a lot of similarities, so possibly.
Okay. I was just curious. Let's talk about Bad Batch, then we'll talk about some other stuff. But we gotta talk about Bad Batch. It's what we do every week. This week, okay, good episode. Enjoyed it. It was fun, but it definitely was light on the bone for meaningful conversation, and it definitely without even the two characters coming back from the last season of Clone Wars, it felt like the first 8 episodes of Clone Wars, that was fun, but
it felt just like their episode that they had with Ahsoka, where it was like another one of those like, did we really need this? But it was kind of fun, and we had a familiar face like that. It literally felt like their story arc all over again, compressed into one episode.
My takeaways, I love that Sid is back. She's my new favorite character in all of Star
She's
Wars.
She's great.
Mainly because I love Rhea Perlman, but that's a whole other story. Second, we went to Corellia again. I always love going to Corellia. It's a fun planet. It's shady as hell, and they don't make it. They need to do more content about shady stuff going on there. Three, the dude that tweeted at us about Wrecker's headaches was 100% on point.
Okay, so I think, so we were at Rosen in Orlando when people were tweeting us about that. They were tweeting us about that after they watched this episode.
Oh, the thieving.
Yeah, no. So like I pieced that all together and I was like, they didn't know that. Because, like, you had to really be paying attention for him to kind of, like, he grabbed his head a couple times, but, like, it happened in passing the last episode, and we both noticed it, and I made a note of it, and I was just like, nah, it's really not worth bringing up yet.
You guys, that wasn't obvious to you?
No. I saw it.
I saw the headaches.
Kevin and I both talked about it, but we didn't bring it up in the episode because he was just, like, he was holding his head, and I was just like, it could be his chip. And then when he got his head hit, And he did the whole a good soldier always obeys commands or whatever that line is, and it was like, that's the chip. But I'm curious as to was it the blunt force that knocked him out of it, or did it knock him into it, and then it was his own self that got him back out? Because there was a lot of struggle between his psyche in that part, and I thought that was really interesting.
Well, I think it's. He got out of it, right? But I don't think... it's hard to say because he's been hitting his head since episode 3.
Yeah, he's a tank.
Like, he hits his head the first time and he's like, God, something's wrong with my head. And, you know, Fennec Shan throws him on the ground. And, like, that's for a reason. I guess he needed a lot of blunt force trauma to have it finally activated. I kind of would have preferred they... not drag it out so long. That's just my particular opinion. But no, I mean, I do think he snapped himself out of it. I don't think that's going to last.
You think it's going to be like, it's just like at the end of the day, this is inevitable?
Like, yeah,
at some point,
I think
the programming just takes over because it's just biologically just embedded in their brains?
Yeah, I think it's either he got himself out of it for now, mm-hmm. or he thinks he got himself out of it, and then they run into a Jedi, or, you know, maybe Crosshair's batch comes for them or something, and we see that he did not snap himself out of it, and it's too late.
Yeah, there's gonna be something. Like, something has to happen to the Bad Batch, right? Like, they don't end up in Rebels. Right, they're not with Rex in when he's, you know, all old and trying to keep everything together. So something happens to this group of clones that have been genetically altered. I unfortunately feel like these guys are going to end up unable to fight against the programming, and they are going to become the first batch of Death Troopers. I'm still holding on to that the Bad Batch or the next version 2.0 becomes the first ever Death Trooper brigade, and so like it makes sense. They're setting it up for that. It was under Tarkin. Crosshair is dressed up in like in Death Trooper regalia. That is where I see this going. They all die, or they end up being converted and they are Death Troopers.
I think they're all gonna flip, and Omega's gonna have to be the one to figure out how to reverse their programming. The galaxy is big, so I don't think we need to know where they are during all the other events. Because at some point they're going to end up, they're just a mercenary group at some point.
Do you think they're just going to live happily ever after in the Outer Rim or go off?
I think they're going to go fight the Empire elsewhere, and it's just, they're not included in anything we already know.
Right.
So they're just going to,
it's just one of those untold stories.
Galaxy's huge. Like, they can be anywhere at any time. So I do think now at this point, they're all going to turn at some point.
Yeah.
And it's going to take Omega figuring out how to reverse the programming to get them back.
I really hope that they hit us with an Omega hook at some point soon, because this whole idea of not understanding who this child is, other than that they're a clone, they're a genetically altered clone. I still fervently believe that she is part Jedi. I think that she's part Jango Fett DNA and part Jedi DNA of some sort. Like, they still haven't really talked about her abilities. All that we know is that she can foresight, or so we assume she has foresight, because she tells Crosshair not to do it when she touches him. So it's just like, how many episodes are we in now? Four?
Six.
Six?
Holy crap. So we're six episodes deep and we still really don't know anything about Omega other than she's just a science project.
What do you think she is, Sawyer?
I don't think she's Force sensitive, because according to everything that Palpatine did, he can't clone force sensitives. He tried, but that's why Rey's dad was killed, because he wasn't force sensitive and he was a direct copy of Palpatine. If she has Jedi DNA, that'd be a different story, because she'd technically be a different life form than the clones. So I guess that's a possibility. I don't have any theories regarding like what her ability is so much as I think that I agree. I think she's going to have to be the one, you know, she spent her life as Lama Su's assistant, or Nala Se's assistant. Yeah. So she knows a lot about the chips, and she's either going to help, you know, if Tech finally gets his stuff that he's working on figured out, she's either going to help him with that, or she's going to be left no choice but to try to help them when all their chips go rogue.
Okay.
Okay, so hold on. I want to... So
go.
I have to ask. Then where... Why do you think the M counts are so important, especially in Mando? So I have to ask this. I'm still... A part of me wants to believe that they're going to bring in... like, because Kevin has had to educate me, and he's definitely more into EU and Legends than I am. But at some point, there was Force... users that were cloned, right, Kevin? They were cloning Jedis, right?
Yeah.
And so I feel like, to me, the more that we lean into this, and as much as I hate to say it, like the M count and the Kaminoan cloner from in Mandalorian, and now that we're dealing with the Kaminoans are looking for the next new thing to make the Empire want to work with them, and so that's why I feel like there's got to be some connection with the M counts and the cloning. And I feel like Omega could potentially be that connection there to explain Mando and then this. And a part of me really feels like there's going to be something to do with cloning Force users or allowing them to like create more midichlorians in their body so they become more Force sensitive. Because like that's the whole thing. The more midichlorians you have in your body, apparently, the more powerful you are, because you're able to commune with the Force more, because you have these symbiotic organisms that are allowing you to connect, which I absolutely hate. I hate midichlorians with a passion, but this seems to be where we're going with Star Wars, and it's not going to go away. So that's my theory with how we're going. This is where I think we'll end up.
Just those, oh my god, the midichlorians.
Another person that hates it. I love it.
Man,
And why, you both had something in common on why you don't like midichlorians.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a biologist. I do, you know, I'm pre-med, so I've done a lot of thinking about it, and I just it's just like, it's one of those things, like, as a scientist, like, I have no choice but to accept this fact that yes, midichlorians are these organisms in people, but they're activated by a spiritual, non-tangible force, and that is the disconnect, and it drives me nuts. But I just, I don't know. Like, I guess my thought, I think there is a possibility that Omega is connected to Palpatine trying to figure out how he can be immortal, and that whole thing. I think they can tie her into that storyline and Mando, but I don't know. I think whatever Omega is, if that is why she exists, I feel like it's not going to work out. Like, something that, whatever Palpatine wanted, if Omega was his, you know, if he ordered her, I think something, yeah, I don't know. Or it's just, yeah.
Okay, so now, knowing that you hate M counts, how do you feel about in Star Wars that a character is designated a certain count and that makes them more powerful than others? How would you, like, have you looked at an M count chart? I love that you hate this, so I'm just curious. Have you looked at an M count chart of like Star Wars characters?
I have not. Do those exist?
Did you know that like Leia is stronger than Qui-Gon Jinn? She is more powerful.
I knew that, but I didn't know that was, like, I didn't have the specifics.
The only reason why I ask you that is, like, does it bother you that regardless of how hard you train, regardless of how much time and of your life you dedicate to becoming a Jedi, to becoming one with the Force and learning all these things, that you will always be at a disadvantage because you're MCAT?
Oh, I mean, I don't think you necessarily are at a disadvantage, right? Because Palpatine did not have as high of a midichlorian count as Anakin, and he, you know, won. You know, he got his way.
Did he?
Okay, Obi-Wan and Anakin on Mustafar. Obi-Wan technically won, right? You know, and he has less midichlorians. So I think, you know, I always hate the conversation of, like, who is more powerful, like full potential Anakin or full potential, like, you know, because it's really a matter of circumstance, right?
Yeah.
Like, technically, if the odds were fair and, you know, they were, like, I don't know, on a Super Smash Bros., like, level, yeah, okay, Anakin would probably win because he has the strongest midichlorians, but, like, or the most midichlorians, but I just don't.
I love that. Yes.
Just think they're stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense. And it's like it comes down to skill and Anakin was tilted. Anakin let his ego, like, that's why he lost. Like, he knew. Obi-Wan said, "Hey, I got the high ground. You shouldn't do that." He knew not to do it, but he's like, "Nah, I'm a badass."
Right. You know? And like, so. Yeah, I mean, I just, man, my biggest issue with them is, like, okay, they're organisms that live inside cells. What happens if you lose a limb? Do they grow back? They must, because Vader was still as powerful. How do they grow back? They're organisms, not cells. Cells regenerate. Like, what?
Also, how do they get in there?
Right, because you can't even.
Is it like normal flora where it's like introduced as you're born? You know, like,
it has to be because you can't, there's no gene, you don't inherit midichlorians from your parents, so I just, like, sorry to get all, like,
I love that. Because it's such a frustrating system, and, like, the mechanics that they've built into the world around the M count is frustrating, and, like, I really hope that we are gonna let it live in the prequels and just let it die. And I was like, it's okay, it can live there, just let it go. And they're like, no, we're going to bring it back with vengeance.
Yeah. Like, the only thing that I have rationalized in my mind in regards to that is, like, every cell has midichlorians. And the Force decides how many of those midichlorians are activated. Like, that's the best I can give you. Because that way, if every cell has midichlorians, they can regenerate. But it's only a matter of, like, okay, the Force is like, you are 75% Force sensitive or that something.
That makes the Force a very cruel mistress.
Yes.
Because it's just like, nah, I don't feel like it. You don't get to be a Jedi. Not today. Like, it's just, like, that's hard. Like, that makes the Force, like, really cruel. You know, like, that's like, it actually makes it. Instead of just, it actually gives it a consciousness.
Yeah.
Allowing, making decisions like that instead of just being like this force that just is there at all times. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That's a very interesting take. Is like, it actually, the Force does decide.
If you even rewind and again, going back to story and world building, and you talk about Palpatine being immortal, if you really want to link it back to High Republic, you could, and we've gone down this path so many times, Tim. Who would Palpatine be learning immortality from if we're going by legends?
I mean, Plagueis, because Plagueis had it almost figured out.
Before that? Legends.
Oh, Vitiate?
Yes. Isn't this an ideal time to introduce the Eternal One? I'm obsessed with him, so I try and include him in every conversation about Star Wars.
I love him, and thank you for saying that, because I feel like every time I go on someone's show, I have to bring up the Old Republic, and I feel so guilty about it. But I'm like,
no, open game here.
No, I love Valkorion, but he is too lore breaking to be introduced into canon. They would have to water him down a lot because he gives his power to the Outlander. You can't, that's not how the Force works. You can't do that. So, like, maybe, but you would have to really, like, play with that a little bit. You know, KOTOR 1, if they are remaking it, there are only a few tweaks they really need to make to the story. Most of it can just be copy-pasted. KOTOR 2 and beyond gets a little tricky with that stuff. So, like, Invitiate, man, I love him, but why wouldn't he still be around, you know? Like, I don't know. It's just, he... Yeah.
I think that's the mystery. I think it was it GCX, Tim, where we had the really weird conversation that maybe Palpatine was somehow actually became Vitiate at some point in his life? Like, was there something changed there? I don't know. We played with it at years ago. Mm-hmm. I remember having the conversation. But he's a fun character. I do understand what you're saying, though. There's a lot. If you gave a story in one-to-one, it would break so many things, yeah. So many constructs that they've put up. They would definitely have to water him down, or they would have to attune him to the current lore as to how he could do X, Y, and Z and tell new stories about it. But the way it exists now, or, you know, I'm still blown away, because one of the reasons I love him is that he managed to remain the Sith Emperor, even though he wasn't there, and have an entire family and rule in a whole other civilization on the other side of the galaxy, or past the red line, Tim, out way, way beyond the chaos, all the way out there, had a whole other civilization.
Man, he just makes Palpatine look like such a chump.
Oh, yeah.
Like, man, I mean, like, I always say, like, the difference, because some people will argue that Legends Palpatine was as strong as Vitiate, which I don't agree with.
I don't agree with that either.
Definitely Vitiate, but... yeah, I think one of the major differences between the two is Vitiate, because he lived as long as he did, he was always 10 steps ahead of whatever was going to come at him. And Palpatine had that pretty, like, standard Sith ego where he, you know, eventually he messed up, right? Vitiate was the first thing that ever, it never dawned on me that I could be scared of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And then I read Revan, and I was like, listening to Nyriss describe what happened on Nathema was, like,
that was wild,
terrifying. And I'm this, like, grown adult going, what? Palpatine? No way. Nothing he could do could scare me, I don't think.
For reference, Tim, Nathema was one of the planets that Vitiate fed every ounce of the Force, like, he fed on it. And sucked every ounce of the Force. You go to it in SWTOR, you go to Nathema, and you walk the ruins, and then you meet him and his father in the Sith Holocron. It's really cool.
Irritates me that you can still use your Force powers, because you're not supposed to be able to do that. Yeah, for the game.
It does make sense.
But, like, you should just be able to use your lightsaber in that section. Oh my god, so many people were trying to tell me that Darth Nihilus was more powerful than Vitiate the other day, and I was like...
No.
Don't even speak that name. I hate him.
I like Nihilus, but I do think he's overrated at the same time. I would have liked more Darth Sion in that game, personally.
Yes, thank you! Nobody ever agrees with me, and I'm like, dude, this guy's so cool.
Tim, he's the one who the gray one with the who holds his body together with basically the hatred that he holds in the dark side, that guy. That's how he keeps himself intact, which is just nuts. Well, we're almost out of time. Sir, I want to talk to you real quick. Like, what's the future for you? What are you working on? I know when we talked the other day, you were saying, like, I just got my branding done. You're on this exciting part of the journey that, like, Tim and I remember from years and years and years ago. And I love hearing people begin this. So I'd love to know, what are your plans? You mentioned YouTube to me a few days ago. I'd love, just give us the elevator pitch. Like, why should people go check you out, and what's coming content wise?
Yeah, I feel like, as much as I love TikTok and TikTok has given me my platform, I think the more connections that I make with, like, you guys and hopefully whatever next week brings, but I think kind of the generally accepted thing is like, okay, it's time for you to do YouTube. That being said, I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know how to edit videos or anything, but the plan is to do first a full Sith timeline, because I've been told that that doesn't really exist in a video format. So full Sith timeline is going to be my first video. Hopefully it's up before next Thursday. Ooh. And my plan for YouTube is what I really want to do is like an Old Republic for Dummies thing. Because there are tons of videos about the theory, the Sith theories and Kreia and this and that. But I've never seen a video on Fatal Alliance, you know? Like, and I think that there's a lot of people who don't have access to, you know, when I'm not studying, I'm reading a Star Wars book or a comic or playing a Star Wars video game. And a lot of people don't have access to that stuff or don't have the time to do that. And so my plan for YouTube is to do, you know, go through every single story and just, you know, in 10 minutes, tell you what happens in all of the books and, you know, the different arcs in SWTOR and stuff like that. So that is like the overarching goal for like upcoming stuff. Otherwise, I'm going to stick to you know, quick little rundowns of characters and whatnot in on TikTok. Something I haven't done in a while that I need to get back to is like really weird biology of species. I have done that a few times. I know way too much about the biology of Hutts. It's really disturbing.
Oh, it's so good. That's
so cool.
Like, yeah, I've been tagged way too many times. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Darth Chaco, but he is like one of my best friends, and he will always tag people, ask him questions about the Hutts, and he's like, Sawyer. I'm like, gosh, well, I don't want to be that girl, but I know a lot about that. But yeah, no, I'll keep doing my TikTok stuff, and that's, you know, where you can find most of my stuff right now. And yeah, we'll see where it goes from there. I'd like to start a podcast too. I did have a podcast for a short time with a friend of mine, but it just got too much and we never agreed on the topic or anything. I would like to start a lore podcast. So
love it.
It's like a hypothetical thing that I'd like to do in the future, but
yeah. We love people that talk lore. I'm a huge Lord of the Rings person, too.
It's fun conversations, Kevin. Like, you don't have to deal about it. You don't have to deal with drama. You don't have to deal with, like, any of that crap. It's just like, how do you feel about this?
Well, and the audience always, like, tries to trigger us and, you know, like, oh, you should talk about Gina Carano. And so we're like, no, let's talk about something fun instead and happy and be, you know, which is...
Be
honestly,
fans
Tim,
of Star
let's just
Wars,
tell
yeah.
them that's. Let's just tell them that's why we stopped doing it live. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It was really because of Tim and I's schedule.
No, you guys are exhausting. He's right.
We didn't want to put up with you anymore. but yeah, there's so much coming down the pipeline. We actually, when we sat down at Rare Drop, and you know, Tim and I were mapping out Star Wars and Scotch as we went along. After they announced, you know, the upcoming shows last year. We went back to our team and we were like, this show needs to be a priority because making Star Wars content is going to be so important for the next half decade.
Yeah.
And people are interested in it. They want to know more. There's two types of Star Wars fans that will consume your content, and you know this already. I'm preaching to the choir. One, the ones who just want to be there and enjoy it. And two, the ones who want to tell you that every single thing you say is a bad take, you're wrong, and
yeah.
you should not be a part of the Star Wars community anymore. Those are the two folks you get. There's no middle. That's all you get.
But, yep.
Yeah, I know you know.
When you telling me yesterday, like, oh, yeah, I can't really tell what your fans like because they're sometimes mean. And I'm like, I was like, oh, my God, is that a
TikTok,
bad?
So.
I was like, oh, my, is that a bad reflection on me? Like, am I doing something wrong? Are people like not going to want me on their shows and stuff? But you can't control those people, unfortunately. I would love to have more fans who just want to talk about what they like about Star Wars.
Over time, you grow that fan base, and before you know it, you have a cult like Tim has.
Okay,
all right.
Well,
community.
For those that would like to, I don't have a cult. Okay, it's a community,
and
they all watch me
leadership
and they
of
tell
Tim.
Me how great I am and give me money. That's not a cult. It's just a very generous community. What do you think? Is it a cult, Sawyer?
I depends. I think in order to reach cult status, you need a message that you need everybody to follow.
It's a cult.
So, yeah.
It's
a
cult.
Hey, Sawyer, where can everybody find you over on TikTok?
For me, by the way, the cult is like, hate Darth Nihilus, and you're in. No, you can find me at Sawyerism on TikTok. That's S-A-W-Y-E-U-R-I-S-M. You can find me with that same tag on Twitter and Instagram for now, and soon a YouTube channel. But I don't know when you post these episodes, so I don't know if that's going to be a thing yet.
It should go up tomorrow. So.
Okay, gotcha. So not but yet, but hopefully by next week.
You can search Sawyerism. I spelled it wrong on the Google invite now, and now I'm really upset with myself.
I was going to mention that, but I didn't want to be rude. But yeah,
I
no.
I figured it out now. S-A-W-Y-E-U-R-I-S-M.
Yeah, it's...
On TikTok. Not Twitter, you're different on Twitter. What is Twitter?
No, Twitter's Sawyerism. Twitter? Everything is Sawyerism. Okay. And I'm That's so it. Thankful to the person that gave me that handle because we're no longer in contact. And I wonder if he knows that I took his idea and I made it a brand.
Someone's going to tweet at all of us and be like, I'm that person.
Yep.
It'll happen.
But yeah, that's me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure talking to you. If you want to hear more discussion with Sawyer, come to our panel at GCX. I forget which day it is now, Tim. Is it day one?
I think you said day one.
Isn't it Thursday at like 2?
2 p.m. Eastern. Thank you.
Yes.
Clicked in my head.
Nailed it.
Yeah, and when I'm back in town, you know, if you guys want to hit up Disney Springs or something.
Oh, we just did that.
I know.
Yeah, but we could like but finally, you know, at some point, Kevin, I want to go to Black Spire Outpost and I want to RP. So I want to LARP. Yet. I want to LARP. Okay, all right. Sawyer, would you LARP with me at the bar at Black Spire Outpost?
I would love to.
Yes.
I have not been in Oga's Cantina. It's the only thing I haven't done.
I want to LARP in there so badly.
But I've never been in there legal. So you know. Yes, I would. I would absolutely do that with you.
Fun quick story about Black Spire Outpost. When I was leaving, after I had finally made my lightsaber, because I'm a nice dad and I went after, my son was with me. He'll be 7 in July. And he was walking out and I gave it to him to hold while we were walking out. And the instructor turned to him and said, "And one day, young Padawan, you too will get to make your lightsaber." And he looks at the guy and goes, "I already have one," and turned and kept walking out the door. I was like, "Yeah, you got one last year. It's my first one."
I will say, though, one time I went and I, you know, I live in Florida, so I, you know, you guys, but I went sometime last year and I was eating at the docking bay and the busser came up and he was like, "Oh, are you making your influencer? You're making a TikTok?" And I'm like, "Yeah. Did you know that I'm eating a reptile? That's so weird. Like, this is a kadu. This is a reptile." And he was like, "What's wrong with you?"
He didn't stay in character?
Wow.
I think it was because at the time things were so restricted for COVID and were moving the employees they still had around. I don't think he was like a normal Black Spire employee.
I want to go into the bar and I want to ask them about Darth Vader and Thrawn and if they remember the stories of the Battle of Black Spire Outpost. I want to see what they talk. I want to see what they do.
You get the right employee, you're going to get taken to school.
I'm so ready for that. I just want to be like,
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to scream like you did in the skit where I cut your hand off? Again, Sawyerism, thank you so much. S-A-W-Y-E-U-R-I-S-M.
Nailed it, Kevin. You did it.
Got it.
I'm good. Go follow in all the places. And come see her next week at GCX with me and Tim and Alex and Molly from Star Wars Explained. But in the meantime, you can check out Tim Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, fb.gg/darkness429. Darkness429, everywhere else on the interwebs, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, that's it, right?
Yeah,
did I miss anywhere?
It's fine, TikTok and everything.
That's
else,
good.
It's fine.
And everything I do is at raredrop.co, so just go there, and that's where you find all the stuff I'm involved in. But thank you so much, as always. We love you. We'll be back. We will be back at GCX next week. There is no regular episode, so if you want to catch us live Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/raredrop. fb.gg/raredropco and Google it on YouTube and it'll pop up. Google it on YouTube. How old am I? Oh my God, Tim. I didn't say Google it on YouTube. I gotta go. We gotta go. May the force be with you. Thank you.
Punch it,
night.
Kevin.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.